Oh, welcome back to Aligned, the sales and marketing podcast for the executives of emerging small and middle market companies. We are with Will Riley today. He works with chief revenue officers of the clients at Fitzmartin. Will, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Sean.
So a lot of people ask, what is RevOps? And I think that an easy answer is just that it's a function that consolidates, organizes, and helps communication between three historically siloed operational teams: sales ops, marketing ops, customer success. Would you agree with that, Will?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So nothing simpler. That's it. Let's go. Why is it blooming right now? I mean, why is RevOps such a conversation? It's a big conversation.
Yeah, it really has to do with the tools and data that we have access to. These three departments have never had this much information, and we're just seeing that people don't know how to use it. They don't know how to internally talk, and they don't know how to share it.
Wow, that's a lot. I think there's been, in my experience, there's been an idea of moving from sales and just a conversation in business about revenue to this idea calling this thing revenue operations because, and I would add one more area to it, sales, marketing, customer success, and then innovation, all four of those areas have impact on revenue. So why would we allow them to be siloed, separate, complicated organizations that then have to have integration when revenue operations has this idea of let's bring all these people, focus them, coordinate them, and create alignment? You know, where most of us are small business owners or middle. Fitzmartin serves the emerging middle market businesses that are dealing with a lot of this complication. And I think one really powerful number is $420,000 a year. That's a big number. Well, that's what we're seeing is that operational cost, the opportunity for businesses in that 100 employee size, they can save and or pocket pure EBITDA $420,000 a year if they implement this properly.
Yeah, and if these departments have alignment, not even looking at cost reduction, you're seeing an instant lift of 16% in just these different departments talking to each other.
Well, do you think that, and I think this is right, so challenge me if I'm wrong, where do you see that lift? Do you see it at the revenue line or do you see it upstream? You see, hey, sales is closing more, marketing's doing more.
Yeah, it really depends on where the biggest issues are. Whenever we come in and do an initial audit with a company or an organization, we may see that there are late stage opportunities. That 16% lift could be from a customer success perspective on, hey, we're just not hitting our renewal goal. So Perfect. It really depends on what our findings are.
So if you drill down into one of these audits, then that gives you a set of tasks to do.
Absolutely.
Then in that set of tasks, which could range from marketing focused, sales focused, tech focused, innovation, customer success, all these different areas could have things to do to improve. So it's the overall lift, that 16% lift number is coming from doing all these little things. But the way you would measure it then, if you're building a dashboard, if you're an executive trying to lead this function, is you would say, hey, we did this task in the marketing space, probably tending to be earlier stage conversions in the customer decision journey, and we got this result. And then we did this in sales, and we did it. So overall, then we can assign a revenue closed loop attribution to revenue of all these smaller tasks.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can't get closed loop attribution until we fix the front of the funnel, which is demand generation.
And then logically, the next two steps. But today's episode is all about demand generation. So let's swing to that. So we know that companies, business to business companies, typically are experiencing misalignment. And we know that there's a revenue cost to that. So today's episode, we're going to focus on this idea around demand generation. So early stage, from the time before anybody even contemplated buying your product, service, or working with your company, to the point when they're contemplating it, to the point when they're actually moving into preparing to make a purchase, to move toward an exchange relationship. So at Fitzmartin, we have this idea called cognitive marketing. And well, I say it's our idea. It's really not our idea. It's behavioral science. It's rooted in science. And it is powerful, and we could go for an hour on just that. In fact, I've got a three-hour seminar if you're interested, Will. You've probably heard it all.
I've heard it. Recorded one.
Yeah. So we need to look at these early stages where there's a weighting that's a little bit heavier in marketing's responsibilities and a little less in terms of sales. Then next episode, we'll move a little farther downstream. So today, let's talk about this demand gen, the marketing technology that supports it, and what's happening with marketing and sales.
Yeah, the main issues at these earlier stage conversion points is our clients and people that aren't our clients, they have a volume problem. They're just not getting the traffic that they need either to the certain pages, whether it's the landing page or just their overall website. So they can't possibly have a conversion rate when there's just no one coming to the site.
Is there a floor? Do you see a floor when if you're underneath this number? What is it?
Yeah,
it's going to be a rule of thumb, right?
Yeah, now. It is. Yeah, it's going to vary a lot. And I think from just KPIs from a quarterly perspective, you should always see a traffic increase, whether it's 30% more traffic, 20% more traffic. You just need to create a benchmark, try to increase it over a quarter and just see where you get to. And then empirically, you can compare year to year and see what that volume issue is. As long as you're not seeing a red arrow down, okay. then you're doing a great job with your volume. But it's not just volume. I mean, it's getting the right people to your website.
Because I was going to ask that. So I think is part of revenue operations not stemming out of account-based marketing and the application of this incredibly powerful data-driven delivery of ads? In other words, I don't have to have 10,000 people a month at my site. I need to have 2,000 of the right people. So I could say to a client, you can spend the money on 10,000 people coming to your site and hope that the 2,000 are the right two. But with account-based marketing, which is a technology platform, I can then deliver the right 2,000 and forget the other 8,000 and get rid of waste. So it's an efficiency of operations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would think a CFO at any mid-sized business would love that idea. They don't like the idea of a tech platform and another subscription and more media money. But if you think about it in terms of, could we eliminate 80% of the waste in the manufacturing plant? Or could we eliminate 80% of our operational costs that we're throwing out the door? There's not a CFO alive who would say no to that, right?
Right, yeah.
And that's what we're offering.
Yeah.
Good revenue operations is identifying and finding ways to be more efficient and effective.
Absolutely. And if we can get the right traffic, better traffic to our website, we're going to fix our lead quality problem. Because the issue that inbound had several years ago is that it was all about volume. It was just getting people to download, getting people to the website. And we've seen this huge, huge problem in lead quality, and to the point where marketing and sales aren't aligned. And sales, frankly, just doesn't trust marketing because marketing wasn't reporting on the right information in that handoff to sales.
Sales learn not to trust marketing.
Yeah.
Because if you give me 100 bad leads.
Oh my gosh. Because never talking to you again.
I'm done. Yeah, you're wasting my time. Because the interesting thing about sales, everybody has to remember, sales typically is compensated on what they sell. So their time
marketing
is typically, marketing gets a salary, whether they get, and they're excited about delivering 100 leads, no matter what the quality of those leads are. Well, so it's time, I'm hearing you say it's time for marketing to grow up. Revenue operations can help them grow up and talk about lead quality, not lead volume.
Yep.
And with these technology platforms that support a closed loop reporting cycle, we can then see and identify what's working, what's right, and what to get rid of.
Yeah. One client in particular, we've been working on a lead follow-up process for getting the right traffic, getting the right lead in, and then that handoff to sales. And it took a few years to really solve that issue. And we've calculated it down to where is a 14-step automated process now. So if a lead comes in on the Contact Us page or whatever, maybe a Request a Demo page, we're seeing that that used to be a 14-step manual process that is executed in seconds now.
In terms of lead response, you have 5 minutes to contact leads is what the data is showing. The second number, 78% of customers buy from the first responder. Sales conversions decreased 391% after 1 minute. It's your third number. Your fourth number, longer than 5 minutes, is an 80% decrease in lead qualification. And the fifth number, and the question for you is this, 55% of companies take 5+ days to respond to leads. There is a significant number of people that will close deals if they're allowed to get the first response. You know, so this conversion, this idea of marketing handoffs becomes an important part of revenue operations. But remember, we're talking about those early stages, those pre-contemplating, contemplating, preparation stages. So if these conversions are happening earlier, there is still a time for sales to get involved this early?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and it depends what the function is, because you may have someone that's pre-contemplating a change, much less that you exist and they don't know why you matter to them. Well, a classic example, sales goes to a trade show. Well, they get 50 business cards and now they've got 50 stage two leads. I mean, there's no intelligence and it's manual.
I only gave you my business card because, you know, they're going to raffle for the trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. So hope they won.
Now, it's kind of funny. I never thought about this before. Sales would do that. I'm going to blame sales a little bit here. They would do that and not think twice about the fishbowl of business cards. Those are crappy leads, right?
Yeah.
Well, why, when marketing delivers crappy leads, they'll get in trouble. When sales comes home with a fishbowl, I guess they're slightly better because they're focused on how to identify people that are interested. Okay, well, they came to the trade show. They must be interested. So maybe there's some validity, which kind of comes back. Was the fishbowl the first account-based marketing tool? Maybe.
Interesting.
I don't know. Very low tech.
Yeah,
very kind of Luddite in its approach. Well, so how would you tell somebody who's in this revenue operations thinking about considering applying this, how would you tell them to begin that process? What are the components of it?
Yeah, so it really starts with performing an audit on existing processes and framework. If we can't possibly give a recommendation on how to improve if we don't know where they are, and that immediately, you know, following a technology audit, we're going to spend a lot of time on the website. We're going to have to see, is the website converting at a rate that your industry is converting at, that your different pages are converting at? And then just look at your content. Are people even seeing it? Do you sell to contractors, but you're saying the wrong thing at the wrong time to them? So really looking at an overall content strategy, which leads into a marketing automation usage. So it's looking at, you know, we saw that you had the wrong tech and your website's not converting. You're not talking to your consumer. You have the wrong tech. Well, we know your lead quality is going to be bad.
Right.
So we come in at those earlier stages and look at those different applications on how we can really front load marketing with better resources so that we're, you know, mitigating these issues we've been talking about.
So one thing I think a small business owner should be doing, mid-size, mid-market business owner should be doing, is challenging, is your agency focused on generating volumes? Is your agency focused on generating awareness? And if they are, that's an incomplete answer. And that's not a B2B answer. It's a consumer answer. Most agencies, most people out there are thinking like consumers. Even marketers are mostly thinking like consumers. So if you've got this effective and a powerful ability to measure what traffic counts and what works, then it's an ongoing iterative moment that requires marketing and sales and customer success to work together. Because how else could you take somebody who's at a traffic stage, they come to a website or come to the trade show, whatever, and then you look at the lifetime value as a customer success metric, and maybe even you look at repurchase at the very end of the cycle or referrals that they're offering. Well, the only way to do that is to have a revenue operations mindset. So there's one more value of this. Why invest in this? Well, you're going to lower your costs. You're going to increase your efficacy. And it's an ongoing process of measurement that's supported by a technology stack. Decent summary?
Yeah, absolutely. And just in our at-home examples here, we're seeing one client had a website submission increase by 486%. They were
amazing.
Extremely happy with that number.
Early stage success, no doubt. So at this point, before we move into our next episode, because I think we're pretty close to our first 15-minute segment, where are we? The decision maker, we always like to talk about things in terms of not where the company is, not where sales is, not where marketing is, not where technology is, but where's the consumer? Because really, the consumer has all the power. So the consumer at the end of this first episode is to the point of preparing. There's a mix probably of responsibility at this point. Yeah, we'll call it 50-50. Marketing should still have a lot of emphasis in communicating with this customer. And then sales should have some involvement when the customer wants them to be involved, which is also another signal we should hit in our next episode. When there's a signal of bad lead quality, it might actually only be that marketing is still needing to be nurturing and sales shouldn't be involved.
Sure.
Let's talk about that next time.
Sounds great.
So the beginning, marketing's got most of the weight that they're carrying here, and then it's beginning to transition. The next episode, we're going to attack sales enablement. What's that look like? What's the technology stack that should be there? How would you implement that? Will, in summary, one quick wrap, and you say goodnight to our listeners. Sort of a Jack Parr reference.
Yeah.
But if you would just say, what is the executive who's listening to this right now? What are the things they should do? What should they go back to the office and do next?
Yeah, when they get back home, it's really looking at the existing MarTech stack and just evaluating its performance. Whenever we look at how a website is performing, the technology that surrounds it is one of the first things that we're going to look at and address. So I would recommend to that executive is just perform that audit. Look at how your website's converting. Is your website talking to your personas? Or really looking at reviewing those and seeing if you're actually using that in your messaging. Looking at, is marketing actually using the technology? If it's the right technology, are they even using it? And then once you've evaluated all of that, looking at the lead quality issue.
Very good. Thank you. And is it all technology? Is that what an executive would do? Should they not be looking at?
I mean, it's very tech heavy just because if we're focused on marketing.
Well, so much of marketing is automating the lead intake and the passing of leads down the journey. It's hard to be effective with your demand generation strategy without 90% technology. I mean, it might even be higher than that.
Hmm.
So I do think it's so important for the executive to look at the tech stack and evaluate different tech stacks that, I mean, it could be where you're having a programmatic issue, which in some ways automates stages 1, 2, and 3, and you may not even be considering that. And if you make a huge switch in terms of automated buying and bidding, such as a programmatic strategy, that might affect your account-based marketing strategy too that we'll talk more about in sales enablement. So yeah, I think we've got to place a high emphasis on tech, especially marketing's weight in these earlier stages.
That's really powerful. Let me ask this. If I'm an executive and I've bought into Pardot and I bought into all these different things and it's not working, I'm frustrated. I've just got these annual subscription fees that tick me off. What do you look for with that? What's the common problem?
Yeah, it's usually lack of adoption rate. I mean, you can train marketing, but if, depending on who bought the platform, if sales hasn't been trained on it or if the customer success or service hasn't been involved in it. I mean, you just have to have buy-in from all departments before you make a major purchase. So yeah, if you bought Pardot and it's not working, I would argue that the company did not buy it, but you bought it.
Oh, wow.
And you can't apply your own agenda to when you're evaluating technology on how it works across the journey.
That's amazing. Yeah. Would you add, or would what comes to mind for me is often, even if you have the perfect tech stack, if you've got people creating content that's irrelevant, it's not narrow, it's not positioned well, then all of that is a waste of time.
Yeah, in other absolutely.
Words, why would, well, one of our favorite clients is somebody who we started writing articles on the nuances of the way electricity sine waves bounced back into the electrical grid. I don't even know what I'm saying right now, but it was this really powerful white paper. Everybody talks about white papers and they write these generic wishy-washy things. But I mean, if your marketing team, if your marketing team is not writing something that's so narrow to just your audience that everybody else would think it's boring or not even understand it, like I want to see people not wanting to read the white paper because it's so narrow, then it's going to start working. So I think often it's positioning. If you've bought the tech and your marketing team hasn't been challenged to be incredibly narrow, often, I think, marketing doesn't get out in the field. I mentioned in the first episode that I did a ride with sales. I probably came back with 5 ideas. I mean, one of them was this kind of a nuanced idea about a purchase that had a high CapEx investment, but they wouldn't make it. They just wanted the lower, hit the budget number. They didn't care about lifetime value. And I mean, I just think oh, well, of course you're thinking about lifetime value, but the buyer didn't care. They would actually make a decision to waste money because it could hit the short-term goal, and they ignored the long-term goal. So if marketing is not really paying attention to that stuff and not getting out in the field, they're not going to write the right content.
Yeah.
So I think that's just as much of an important part of revenue operations is understanding that customer.
Absolutely. And your role there. I mean, if we were throwing out numbers here, the different stages, but if it's weighted marketing's 90%, sales is 10 at that first stage, and then it moves to 75, 25, 50, 50, marketing has to know what sales is doing and what the customer is saying at those different stages.
So, all right. Who in life doesn't want some extra time? Well, you just got like 5 extra minutes of good content. Will was just on a roll. We had to let him go. This was good. So we're going to come back next episode and have maybe 15, maybe some bonus time too. But we're going to pursue that $420,000 a year that most businesses are walking away from just by not pursuing and understanding revenue operations. Will, thanks for the time.
Absolutely.
Look back to getting together.
Sounds great.
Look back to getting together? Look forward to getting back. There we go. All right. See y'all soon.
Bye.